Previously, on Alicia Rising.
I assume you have come here to unburden yourself of the sins for the past.
As per your invitation, I hope you don't mind I brought plus four.
Hello, Priestess.
Hi, Priestess Catherine. There is one faction in particular who has set plans in motion that, should they come to fruition, threaten the sanctity of Alicia herself. The mastermind of these actions is Musto Varn.
I heard that he's making inroads into Belltower Prison. Our friends in the Church have obviously spent some expense gathering up Sangrivar. Musto's efforts are obviously threatening their goals.
What do you mean you don't know where the boss is? Like, ever since Songbird's Scarpa to the Winds, Musto's done a runner.
No, oh, Musto.
Caverin, as you're waiting on the corner, you find yourself alone on this street. Suddenly you get this feeling that you're being watched. Frida, the front door of this house opens and out waddles a stocky, sweaty little goblin.
Hello,
he says.
All right.
Caverin, however, you hear the sound of something scraping along the stonework behind you.
Hello, little bird. Do you like the sound of music? Because the orchestra is looking for someone just like you.
And as he lifts his head up fully, he launches himself at you, sickle drawn.
Welcome to Alicia, the jewel of the north. On our gilded streets, fortune and fame can be found by anyone.
Hi, I'm Julia, and I'm playing Magpie, an ace of our lurk.
Hi, I'm Nate, and I'm playing Caverin, a dragon scent slide.
Hi, I'm Meg. I'm playing Frida, a wolfkin cutter.
Hi, I'm JC, and I'll be playing Algernon, an ace of our spider.
Hello, I'm Errol. I am playing Atta, a goblin whisper.
And my name is DM Dan. I will be the games master on this adventure.
So come on in and marvel at our wonders. Make sure you see the beautiful views we have to offer. And don't mind the ghosts. They're friendly, really. Grab yourselves a seat and make yourselves welcome in the city of Alicia.
Welcome back, everyone, to Explorers of Elsewhere's Alicia Rising campaign. Hi, I'm DM Dan, and I have some very fraught-looking individuals who are about to start a mission.
We're fine.
We're fine. We are just going to jump straight back into it. Frida is currently eye to knee with Musto Varn in a narrow alleyway in Rookridge, whilst Caverin is face to face with a mysterious Lorovar man with glowing eyes and a wickedly sharp looking sickle, and Magpie Atta and Algernon are pretty much equidistant from the both of them on the bridge, one of the bridges of Waterside. First things first, as the mission begins, starting with Magpie, what level of loadout are you going with?
Light. Please.
And Atta?
I think I might also go light.
Light for Atta. And Algernon?
I think I'm just going to go normal, like usual.
Normal, okay. And Caverin?
Going light.
I've got to run, it's going to be light. and Frida?
Good question. I'm going to go heavy.
Yes.
I've come prepared for war.
Because you're picking up a muster. That's one of your loadout items.
Okay. So, Heavy for Frida. Very, very, very good. Right, so Frida, you have rolled a controlled position. So, yeah, Musto is currently like stood mid stride, looking gawping at you. What? Yeah, and he's just, hello, Frida, he says. And he's looking at you, and it looks like you are dressed up for war. You've just got a satchel over one shoulder, your pockets are bulging.
Frida actually takes off the satchel, and out of the satchel, she draws a very heavy-duty looking, Musto-sized burlap sack. She says, right, Musto, I'm going to need you to get in this sack.
Musto looks at you, blinks his tiny little eyes a few times, looks at the cobble that sat on the crate next to him, and then looks back to you.
You fucking what?
You heard me. I'm going to need you to get in this sack, no fuss.
Musto's face indicates that he would like some fuss. So that's going to be a sway.
Okay.
You're in a controlled... I'm going to start this as a controlled limited. As much as Musto loves you and you are Bezzy's, the thought of getting in a sack does not appeal to him much right now.
Can I push myself, please?
You can. So bear in mind, so you're starting at controlled limited, so you can switch it to risky standard. You could even switch it all the way to desperate greater. For free.
For free!
Get in the bag.
Get back. Okay, let's do another desperate. What could go wrong?
Okay, right. So okay. Frida.
So it's too stress, isn't it, to push?
Yeah. So Frida's going for a sway. Yeah, too stressed to push. So that's now a two dice desperate greater sway.
Grand.
Regardless of what happens, the cobble sat on the crate takes umbrage with your plan.
Ooh.
Punch him.
So that is your devil's bargain.
Just punch him.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll take that devil's bargain.
Okay, cool. So a three dice.
Let's do it. Three dice, desperate, great. What could go wrong? Oh boy.
Three dice, desperate, great. Desperate, greater, sway. Go. Okay, a partial success. So you do it, but there's a consequence. You suffer severe harm, a serious complication occurs, or you have reduced effect. I'm going to say Musto just looks at you like you're speaking a different language at him. Like any like his cheeks. His facial features, which already occupy a very small amount of space on the front of his head, seemingly shrink into an even smaller space as he scrunches his face up in incomprehension of what you're saying. We'll say, because it was a desperate role, you fundamentally just kidnap him. The sack goes over the goblin's head. And you hear, and as you like grab the air, like you fit, like the burlap sacks by his ankles, you swing it so he's now upside down. And as you swing this goblin over your shoulder, you hear him shouting from inside. The cobble sat on the crate, like looks to you and noticing that you've just kidnapped the boss. Produces, like, takes that knife that he just cut the tip of his tongue with and stabs you in the side. Knife to the gut, level 2 harm, unless you want to resist.
I'm gonna bloody well resist that. How dare he?
Very dare he.
So it's a prowess, so it's a 3 dice resist, and this will drop it down to a slash to the ribs. A slash to the side.
Bye.
That'll do.
Okay, one, you suffer one stress, so that takes you up to 4, and you have a slash to abdomen. As this, this cobble lunges at you, let go of him, he shouts, and you manage to kind of jump back, into a wall, and you hear Master, as you, squash him between you and the stone wall you've just battered him into. But you now have a Mustove arm in hand. What's your plan? Are you hightailing it?
Yeah, I'm gonna just leg it.
Okay.
Right. I'm gonna be like, this is for his own good.
Okay. So
amazing.
As you turn and bellow that and start hoofing it through the narrow winding streets of Rookridge, and it's just narrow enough that every time you take a turn, the bag swings out and you hear as he smashes into a brick wall. We will flash to you, Cavern. This lanky figure is running in a loping gait towards you with a maniacal face with this sickle waving wildly behind them. What are you doing in this exact moment?
I am going to whip out some...
I don't think now's the time for this.
You never know.
I'm going to whip out in my loadout some trance powder.
Okay.
Ooh.
And I'm going to whack that into his face.
Oh, so... you're not just taking a bump yourself or something.
I hope I just go silently. So, a dose of the popular drug which induces an alternate mental state. The victim of this powder is not fully unconscious, but rather retreats into a calm, suggestible mental state similar to hypnosis.
I love that.
Okay. Roll me. What skill are you kind of trying with this? I could argue for a finesse to try and...
Blow into
their face at the right time.
Yeah, I guess I would say a finesse to maneuver out of the way of his attack, but be able to grab the powder and blow it in his face to get him close enough to be able to get it right in his chops.
Okay. This individual is a tier 2 threat. So we're going to start you on a risky lesser.
Okay,
as they are one tier higher than you.
I'm going to push myself.
Okay,
get an extra dice, and we're going with finesse. Yeah,
so what, how do we imagine the trance powder works? It induces an altered mental state,
so it just calms him down a bit, really.
Yeah, just chill him out a bit. Make him a bit woozy.
Make him a bit more... Well, make him suggestible, so I can say, oh, you don't want to be doing that. None of that now.
Okay. Yeah. Risky lesser.
Can I change that to a desperate standard?
Standard. Yep.
You got one. Okay.
No, I've got 2 dice because I've got pipping finesse.
You've got, so it's one die then?
I'm pushing myself.
No, you're pushing. Good. Okay, don't get trauma, please.
Give the poor man a devil's bargain.
Please.
Regardless of what happens, a second unfriendly faction arrives.
It's going to be Dorothea and she's going to beat me up.
Again.
Yeah, go on then, do it. I'll do that for an extra dice.
Okay.
Maybe they'll fight each other.
Yeah, maybe. You never know. Okay. That's 3 dice. Desperate standard.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Very, very good.
This figure launches at you, and as they soar through the air, they pass by an illuminated window for long enough that you notice this sickly grey, almost dead-like pallor to their skin. And there's a moment where you feel just naturally reviled at this thing. Because this thing isn't a normal person. And as they fly towards you and they land heavily on one foot and the sickle swings out in an arc, you manage to duck out of the way and come back to blow the dust, the trance powder in their face. And the spirit, the individual kind of rocks back, covering their face slightly, screaming. And you watch as the trance powder seemingly begins to burn pock marks across the skin on their face, and they rock and thrash and eyes clenched shut, begins swinging wildly at you and staggering backwards and forwards. You don't know what's happened, but whatever is mixed in with this trance power is seemingly having some sort of serious adverse effect on this creature. And cursing and spluttering, you have an opportunity to
leg
run.
It. Yes.
Okay. You turn to run, and you barrel straight into, you only get a few steps before you barrel into the Lorevar man in the long coat and high collar that was tailing you earlier. So I'm just going to go ahead and complete this EIC investigation. Body into them, and with such force that the two of you are knocked to the ground before you manage to scrabble back to your feet. They look to you and seeing this creature, seeing this person on the corner holding their face screaming bloody murder, this Lore of our man looks to you with a determined frown on his face. Algernon, you can hear some interesting things through the gossiper's earring. What do you do?
Catherine. Situation report. Having fun on your street corner.
Not as much as I wish I would be. Give me a moment.
Why? You hear the sound of Cavern. It sounds like Cavern's heavy breathing. There's panting coming through on the gossip's earrings. But it sounds like something is up. What are you thinking?
Cavern, do you need help?
Maybe.
I give the signal to both of you to follow up.
Okay.
I'm smiling right in front of this Lorevar's face.
do we know what direction, apart from Dustry Hill, do we know whereabouts in Dustry Hill he was headed? Because we could go in that direction.
I would say in a flashback I would have told you where I usually meet these keepers.
So I'm going to look at her and then I guess we start running.
Okay. So the two of you break off into a full-on sprint towards Cavern's last known location, as the two of you hurtle through the streets, you're weaving between the market carts that are just parked at the side, ready for tomorrow's trading. You can see a couple of the other late night workers heading back home to their families, and suspicious looks kind of catch you as you run through this kind of district of Elysia. And Kavrin, in this moment, you've just kind of collided with this Lorivar. This Lorivar looks like he's looking backwards and forwards. Looks like he's trying to kind of lock you down as well. He's trying to intercept you. What do you do, Kavrin?
I think Kavrin is just going to ask us. I think he's just going to ask him. Just say, like, you were following us earlier on.
The Lorivar man kind of, like, stands up and...
You're a person of interest, and we're taking you in.
Can I hear what other people are saying over the earrings? I can't, like...
You can hear what Kavrin's saying, yes.
Okay, but not what the guy's saying to him.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Would I know that he's a member of the EIC or not? Would I just not know?
Looking him up and down, it's abundant. Like, the plain's clothes are a bit too plain's clothes, the relatively stuffy nature. There's a certain Algernon vibe coming from this, okay. from this man, and you wonder if he is part of the secret police here.
Okay. In that case, Kavrin is going to say over the ear, he's just going to go like, and who says I'm being taken in?
Lorivar looks to you, he seems like he's in a bit of a hurry to take you down. So you can roll me a risky level sway to try and get this guy to keep talking. Yes, I can.
I would like to assist.
With the foresight?
Yes, with my foresight ability.
Okay. And how is that? How did you have a premonition, or do you know this chap?
I think having noticed some suspicious people following my crew, I've got like a little list of all of them.
Okay.
And in the earring, I'm just going to say to Kavrin, does he have blonde hair or brunette?
What does he have, Ben?
dealer's choice.
I'm going to say he's brunette.
And would you say he's more handsome than me or less?
Oh, definitely less Algernon, definitely.
Okay, you should tell him that it would be an awful shame if his mother missed the delivery for her medicine.
I say that as I add an extra dice to my sway.
Okay.
Risky standard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, five? Oh. Not bad.
Partial success.
Okay. There's a five in there.
So as you say this, the man in front of you sort of like stops for a moment and like hit, like there's a flicker of shock and like fear in his face that then kind of gives way to one of like frustrated anger. How did you know? He says, and as he tries to sort of like read you, the complication is that as this is happening, the screaming from the individual that just attacked you begins to subside.
Oh.
Unless you wish to resist.
No.
Okay. In which case, as this Lorivar says, how did you know that? Kavrin, in the corner of your eye, you see the lanky, slinky figure just, like, stop writhing as much as they were, and like they turn and look at you, and in the purple light of the void that's raining down on you, you can see that this trance power for some reason has just scorched through the skin to reveal what looks like old rotting bone and like old stringy muscle underneath.
No.
And this creature looks to you with these kind of burning eyes that kind of flicker from a reddish to a purplish kind of hue.
Is he a zombie?
Now, no longer like affected by the powder that you've kind of blown on him, the figure begins kind of loping towards you, like arms swinging, like swaying heavily, and like a deep guttural breathing coming from its mouth. Frida, we find you. You rolled a success, so you are like blowing your way through the streets of Rookridge, using your kind of childhood knowledge to know which turns to take, and you can hear the sounds of pursuers behind you. Seemingly, the cobbles have led by the one that's just slashed you across the midriff. They are giving chase. As you're heading through the streets with a with a Mustovan that is getting more and more disgruntled and dishevelled with every footstep you take, what are you doing to like stay ahead of them, to combat them? Like, what are you doing to make your to complete the mission?
Yeah, I'm definitely relying on my knowledge. You know, darting down all the sort of alleyways and sort of like bolt holes that I would have used as my youth doing nefarious things. Mm-hmm. I think I'll be taking some like interesting routes, so maybe like, you know, like I'll dart down an alley that has seemingly got like a dead end, but then I'll be like, you know, just hauling old Musto in his sack over the wall and then like clambering up over myself and like to sort of put as much distance as I can between me and my pursuers.
Okay. That, what does that sound like?
It sounds, I don't know whether it could be possibly a finesse.
It sounds finesse, yeah. Dexterous manipulation or subtle misdirection. Alternatively, a prowl is you traverse skillfully and quietly.
I'm not being quiet about it. I'm trying to be speeding that like kind of parkour way.
Parkour.
Parkour.
Yeah, are you shouting parkour?
I mean, depending on how brash you're being, I would even entertain a wreck. Like, if you getting Musto over a wall involves you just hurling this sack over
lobbing
the wall
him.
And then
yeah.
just...
Oh, yeah. And then, like, maybe, like, you know, with, you know, going down an alley and, like, you know, there's, like, crates stacked up, I'm ramming them back behind me to, like, to, you know, ensure that, like, yeah, they it sort of disrupts their path as much as possible.
Okay. Yeah, I'm happy to... If you want to roll wreck, I'm happy for a wreck.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
things have escalated, so we're going to move you down to a risky. We're going to say risky standard, mainly because you know the streets.
Okay. Can I make this easier for myself in some way?
So you can push it, you can move it to a desperate greater. You can, tell you what we'll do. Is we will give you a 6 o'clock called Frida Escapes. And I will match it with a Frida Cornered.
Okay. I think I'm just going to go for... I think I've pushed it on the desperates a little bit, so I'm just going to go for a regular roll this time. So, risky standard, no modifier, but...
Okay.
Should have pushed it!
Okay. So, things go badly. A complication occurs. I'm going to move the Frida Cornered clock up 2 segments, unless you wish to resist. So
yeah,
as you hurl Musto over a wall, and like as you go to scrabble, you slip slightly, and the time that you lose kind of getting over the wall, Musto has begun to emerge from the sack, looking like he's just been hauled through Rookridge in a burlap sack. And yeah, you have to spend more time like grabbing his, like pushing the pork pie hat he wears firmly on his head to back in the sack.
Okay. I tell you what, it's two segments. I'm going to leave it for now.
Okay. In which case, he, like, as you shove him back in the bag, you hear him go, "God, we got this out!" Okay. So yeah, you continue on. As you keep on going, please feel free to tell me how you're attempting to escape. So you can hear the sounds of the cobbles approaching closer. You see up ahead that you're coming up to a crossroads, and there is what appears to be torchlight coming from the left, which you suspect may be the torches carried by City Watch. Alternatively, they may just be someone making their way home. Yeah, there is someone up on the left, up ahead. But yeah, how are you tackling this?
I'm gonna hedge my bets and say, no, okay. I'm gonna hope that it's just some rando, and as I go past, I'm gonna grab their torch and like fling it behind me.
Okay.
Preferably onto some flammable things in the way of me and my pursuers.
What skill were you thinking?
I mean,
there's a part of me that feels like that's kind of skirmishy.
It's fighty, isn't it?
Skirmish or finesse, I would argue.
Let's do skirmish, because I've got more pips in that.
Okay.
And this one, because my last sort of attempt didn't go well, I'm gonna push myself for an extra die.
Okay. So that takes you up. So again, we'll say standard, a risky standard. You can make it desperate greater if you so wish, but that will take up to one extra dice, three dice total.
Let's just do a risky standard for now, I think.
Okay.
Oh, should we do a greater? What do we think? What do we think, lads?
Depends how spicy you're feeling.
Mm.
You're quite stressed. I don't hate to think of anything happening to you.
Yeah.
If this goes badly.
All right. We'll do risky standard.
Okay.
Hey.
Only three okay. Sixes. It's all good.
At this moment, I will segue slightly. What's Algernon doing? Where do we find Algernon right now? And is it potentially at a crossroads in Rookridge with you holding a torch?
Ah! Algernon has teleported across the map.
I mean, it could be. I'll take some stress to put myself there.
Okay. I will argue, yeah, in exchange for... I'll say for two stress, Algernon, with your encyclopedic knowledge of the streets of Elysia, you've kind of gotten an idea, like, if it's not where Cavern is, then it's probably where Frieda is, and using your knowledge and sort of like, oh, well, she's probably going to be heading to Cadwallader or something, so if I head down this very specific route, I'll intersect at this point here. In exchange for two stress, I can say that you are there.
I will take it and we'll say that it was the plan all along.
The plan all along. Marvellous. Okay, so Frieda, in which case you arrive at this crossroads and you sort of like spin around the corner, and Algernon, you see Frieda in what I can only describe as a frenetic frenzy. And like she goes to reach for what is it you're carrying? Like a torch, a lantern?
It's just like a simple torch with a rag,
gotcha.
Oily rag.
Okay, so yeah, Frieda.
I'm playing the old soldier, the old wounded veteran routine that I was doing back on Remembrance Day.
Very good, very very good. Okay, Frieda. In which case, yeah, you come around the corner and like Algernon is just there in front of you. By all means, you can still grab the torch and launch it behind you to slow down your pursuers, or you can stop yourself in case you accidentally punch him in the face.
I'm still gonna go for the treasure. Be like, Algernon, I need to borrow this.
Okay. In which case,
yeah, and I take it, and I'm gonna hurl it towards the.
Whether or not you agree, Algernon, the torch is snatched from your hand and hurled down the street, and you see it rolls alongside a barrel that's leaking, the Frida that you clocked, and the relatively high proof homebrew like mushroom whiskey, like mushroom moon juice, moonshine, it like goes up in flames, and you can see silhouettes on the other side of the flames like come to a stop as they try to navigate. Frida and Algernon, you have a musto in tow, Magpie and Atta. Mm-hmm. like potentially somewhat out of breath as you just had to rip through a city's district as quickly as you can. As you come around a corner, you see Kavrin stood between this Lorivar man in a long coat with a high collar, and this loping thing, like sprinting towards the two of them with now blazing purple eyes. Between the two of you, what do you do?
Does Atta have a plan here? Because if not, Magpie's just going to run forward and draw her blade, I think.
No particular plans. I think Atta's not gonna try and call down a ghost for help just yet, but maybe do some wrecking.
Who does Kavrin seem in the most imminent danger from? Presumably the orchestra guy.
The figure
swinging a sickle around.
Yeah, the figure running at. There's something wrong with this individual.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna try and run, sort of leap, so that I'm between this figure, this charging figure, and Kavrin, mm-hmm. with my blade out, ready to. I guess it's either skirmish or finesse, depending on.
This sounds like a skirmish. If you're interjecting between this figure and Kavrin,
sure.
We can begin the sword fight. Okay. Please roll me a. You see, as this figure runs, you kind of. Who is it that trained you to use your rapier?
I don't think it would have been Samuel. He was more into the sort of sneaky stuff. But I think, so it wouldn't have been during childhood, it would have been later I started learning to fight. Do I need to sort of officially declare a contact or anything like that?
No, not at all.
No.
If it's just something that you picked up as...
Yeah, I think so. It's something I picked up a bit. Later.
Okay, in which case, you notice as this thing moves towards you, it's moving quite unnaturally. Like there's a heavy slump on the flat-footed steps that it's taking as it kind of launches towards you. And it seems completely unconcerned with its own safety as its arm comes out in this wild swing with this sickle trailing behind it. But please roll me we'll start you on a risky lesser, because they are a higher tier than you.
I'd like to swap it to a desperate standard.
Okay,
please.
Very good, yes.
Desperate standard. And I should probably push myself, because this guy seems... dangerous.
Okay,
and he's also quite a high tier. You said it's like tier 2.
He's a higher tier than you, so he's tier 2.
So I'm gonna give myself one extra die, and it'll be a desperate standard.
So that'll take you up to 3 dice.
It
desperate
will.
Standard.
Oh blimey!
Regardless of what happens,
yes,
the fight draws even more attention.
That's fine. I will take that. Yeah. Okay. Right. So plus 2 die. Dice. Desperate standard.
Yep.
Oh dear. Okay. Ooh, only sixes this session, people. I'm telling you.
All this time.
Okay. So, describe to me how you, like, divert the attention, how you strike at this individual.
Magpie rushes in, takes up a fighting stance in front of Kavrin, and as this guy just comes sort of swinging wildly, I think she's going to sort of very deftly duck out of the way of this swing and come up with a jab into its squishy parts.
Sternum?
Yeah.
Why not? Chest? Okay.
Why not?
In which case, Atta, you watch as this man, swings wildly at Magpie, and you watch her just sort of like duck and roll, and then in a blur of dark blue cloak, Magpie surges up and you drive the rapier between the ribs, and you feel like, Atta, you watch the coat of this man billow out slightly at the back as the point erupts from his back. And the creature, the man, like, stops for a moment, and the arms fall limply at their side. And then the figure looks up to you, and you can see exposed teeth and ligament through what appears to be burnt flesh on the side of its face, and these two piercing, glowing purple eyes, and the face twists into this rictus grin.
You would do well to join the cacophony as well, girl.
And the figure launches itself backwards, straight off the length of your rapier blade, and you notice that there is no blood along its leg.
It's definitely dead. Okay, cool.
but you have managed to... you did desperate, so you've managed to push it all the way back to zero as the figure like moves back towards you, but the angle you suspect that perhaps you've torn or cut through some sort of ligament, because like the arm that's holding the sickle is now just hanging limply, and like it seems like he goes to swing at you, but the arm just flaps uselessly at its side. Atta, what are you doing to help? Kavrin is still entangled with this man, with this Lorevar man.
Yeah,
seems
I
a bit
feel
more lively
like,
than the other, I should point out.
For sure. I feel like I might want to do some kind of flashback.
Yes.
And maybe the flashback is, how do the EIC communicate? Is it through devices of some description? Messages? Meetings?
All of the above, I guess. You wouldn't be surprised if they also had some form of, like, long-range communication devices, similar to what you've got with the Gospers earrings, okay. But perhaps a bit less flowery.
Okay. Maybe I think the flashback is... I was thinking about a couple of different things.
Uh-huh.
The options are... flashback to Atta after hearing Kavrin is in trouble with the EIC. Some kind of like bizarre Atta arcane interference device. And she's putting out a signal over the EIC radio comms that Songbird has been sighted in this area alongside like some trouble of some description. Or the other alternative is previously Atta messed with like the fire alarms for one of the factories around the area, and there's like basically a fire alarm gathering.
I like the sound of that first one.
Yeah,
I'm sure you do, but I don't know whether bringing all the EIC here, I'm trying to give us like a kind of out.
You could always direct them to like a close but different district.
I want them to come and collect their other EIC member for a more important wanted person, essentially.
If he's listening in,
yeah,
then he might get the call to like stop what he's doing and go do something more important.
Yeah, I think as Atta, then, okay, as Atta's round in the corner, sees an EIC person, like the previous message flashback that she put out about songbirds being sighted, all units, okay. Head towards any other kind of area in this district. Just sure. Any. That isn't Cavern.
That sounds very tinkery, and given how apropos this is for Atta, I won't charge you any stress. So I will say it's a risky standard to begin.
Okay. Risky standard, can I?
So you can switch to Desperate Greater. Devil's Bargain.
Yeah.
You did go for the Devil's Bargain, didn't you, Julia? Yes. Devil's Bargain, regardless of what happens, it's not just the EIC that hear this message.
Jeez. Yeah, why not? Yeah, give me that. Regardless of what happens. That's the thing. That's the phrase that gets us, is we don't... Regardless.
That's the whole point of a Devil's Bargain.
It's just gonna happen.
Fuck.
Fuck. I guess more chaos is not bad. Maybe they can take on this.
Yeah.
Take on this one blow.
Okay.
I'm gonna add a die, but keep risky standard, I think.
So it'll be one extra dice. Are you going risky standard or are you switching up to Desperate Greater?
I'm going risky standard because if I push myself, I can't push myself without getting trauma now, can I?
You'll have three dice though if you go Desperate Greater.
I will. Cavern's in trouble.
Join us.
Don't traumatize yourself.
Oh, come on. If I don't get trauma now, I won't get trauma in the...
I should be able to help you in some sort of way. I can give you an extra dice.
How does Cavern want to help? And or Algernon, if you want to throw in that second foresight.
Can I?
You know, what you're doing is pretty reckless. You can join Frieda in your recklessness.
Don't do it. You only get one downtime activity when you're traumatised.
But then I get rid of the stress if I'm traumatised.
No, you don't. I was wrong about that. You have to... relieve stress every downtime or you get more stress.
Yeah. Which we're all having to do anyway because we're all stressed to the back bloody teeth.
It's true.
So yeah, what's Atta doing? What's Atta thinking? What's Cavern thinking for help?
I think there was maybe a flashback that Cavern did inform Atta that there was someone following us and maybe that's where she was linking two and two together. Mm. And so he said
I can do that for free. Helps. I can be the one who's sort of... I'm already putting this little dossier together of the people who are following us.
Nice.
Okay, so in which case, if Algernon's helping for free, perhaps it's a good location for where Songbird... Like, a handy location to redirect EIC operatives to. Okay, that tracks. So, Atta, you're now up to two extra dice... so it's a four dice tinker. You could go Desperate Greater if you wanted. And regardless what happens, someone else hears your call that Songbird's been sighted.
I want that Desperate. Come on, let's. So two extra dice. I'm doing Desperate Greater. We're going to see what happens.
Atta gets another Desperate Tinker.
Nice.
Oh, smashed it.
All sixes.
Smashed it.
Gold.
Okay.
I think Dan's turned off the be mean to them setting in Foundry.
So, Atta, what does this device that kind of gives this message look like? What is it your... Is it like another gossiper earring style thing that you can... Or like a walkie-talkie that invades the other people's...
Yeah, I think it's because we made the ghost bottle walkie-talkie recently as well.
Yes.
I think that Atta's been attempting to make like a more portable version of that in order to do other things, probably. And I think, Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't think it. Yes, yeah, it's like a tunes into the various frequencies and kind of. I think she just blasts it instead of like choosing a specific. She kind of goes across all the frequencies. Like okay. It's onward.
Very, very good. In which case, you watch as this EIC operative like flinches suddenly, as if someone just shouted at great volume in his ear, and like holding a hand near his ear for a moment. There's a look of confusion on his face, and then Cavern, you notice that he looks to you, looks to Atra, that this goblin and Ace of Our Woman that have just turned up, and the figure that just got skewered and seems okay. And he just sort of like takes one step back, takes another, glances at you all again, and then begins scurrying off in the direction of Spire Park. And as he goes, the lanky figure sort of like with this limp hanging hand, this limp hanging arm at his side, looks to you, Magpie, and he's still got that erectus grin on his face, and you watch as he slowly runs this dry tongue across his teeth, and then his attention is caught by the running agent towards Spire Park, and then he,
unfortunately, perhaps today is not your day.
And he begins sloping off after the EIC agent instead. The glint of the sickle kind of flapping behind him as his arm kind of hangs loosely. But as you go, you watch as the arm seemingly begins to like regain some sense of control. And before long, you see him, and he's almost kind of bounding along on all four limbs after this EIC agent that's desperately making his way towards Spire Park.
I don't like it.
No. Cavern, you have been saved.
Yay! My hero!
We will smash cut back to Algernon and Frieda. So, you have 6 pips of a escape clock to fill. Algernon, how are you first starting this?
So as the cobbles who are chasing Frieda are sort of avoiding the fire, they're going to bump into an old soldier limping along with his cane. And I'm going to say, she went that way.
Okay, that sounds very good.
And I know that the communities here in Rookridge are particularly tight knit, working class communities, snitches get stitches sort of thing. So I'm going to play at that angle.
Okay. No, that sounds very, very good. That sounds quite swayy, or are you going to argue for something else?
I'll say, yeah, I think sway is fair because I'm sort of lying to them.
Okay. We will start you on a risky standard. Regardless of what happens, you lapse into a foresight withdrawal momentarily.
Yeah, I like.
Okay.
And what's my reward? I get to
one extra dice or upgrade. So you start in a risky standard. You can switch to desperate greater for free, and you get one extra upgrade regardless. If you're taking the devil's bargain.
I think I'm going to up the dice with the devil's bargain, and then I'm going to use infallible to add an extra effect level to great. So it's risky great.
This could be great. Okay. So one extra dice takes you to 2. Mm-hmm. Roll them bones.
Very good. Ooh. 5.
Partial success. Okay. So you do it. There's a consequence. You add 2 segments to the escape clock. The Freeganon escapes clock. And like, Frida, you glance over your shoulder. It's difficult because Musto's really thrashing in this burlap. But you see like Algernon, like having just redirected what seems to be a large chunk of the cobble pursuants. And like Algernon turns, looks at you and begins moving. But Frida, you glance ahead and notice a watch patrol come round the corner of the alleyway in front of you, and now are like directly in your path. And as you curse Algernon, as you sort of like, you know, do your best to keep up with Frida, who's going at pace, you hear Algernon in your ear, a voice from behind you. And as you glance to look at who said that voice, because it's a very familiar voice, you see in the crossroads an Aesivar woman with sunglasses and long black hair cascading down her shoulders, and she tilts her head slightly. And the more you look at her, your vision starts to quiver. You hear, and the sound of a heartbeat's getting louder and louder as your vision begins to shake more and more violently, and you feel your limbs freezing up, almost as if they're frozen in spot. And as you glance down, you notice what appears to be this jagged red crystalline substance creeping up from the ends of your fingers and up your forearms. And then you're back in the alleyway with Frida bellowing at you. What are you doing, Frida?
I'd actually like to also utilise a bit of a flashback.
Yes.
To say that...
before this one, I bought spiked armour!
No, but I do think we arranged some quick getaway transport.
Ooh.
In the form of essentially a taxi cab. Something that would be quite inconspicuous on the street, and I'm hoping that if I see the watch in front of me, the taxi cab is down like an adjacent street, so while we dart down this adjacent street and sort of bundle Musto and myself and Algernon into the back of the taxi, the watch will continue on and get distracted by the fire that we've created behind her.
Could I offer an alternative to that taxi cab of sorts? Because as you're running up through Rookridge, you know that you're coming up to the two bridges that cross over the river, and you have a set of crew members who pilot a barge.
We do. Okay, I'm going to haul Musto over the side of the bridge into the back of this boat, and then grab Algernon. And both of us are going to jump down ourselves.
What? Well, bear in mind, you've still got the group of watch. Or are you just kind of like ducking away down a different route to get to the barge?
Are they like on the other side of the river?
No, so they are. Like, so you're heading up an alleyway, but it's one of the alleyways that will, like, at the end of it, you'll get to the river's edge. So yeah, you'll be on the riverfront. They're right in front of you, like blocking your way, so you could either go through them, you could go round them. With the flashback, we now know that your new escape extraction point is the barge. Alternatively, one of your crew is also an arsonist explosive expert. Who is woefully underutilized, I feel.
Oh, okay.
Until today.
Yeah, well, it's fine, because our lovely demolition expert, Dynamite Dylan,
What? I mean, she exists already.
Her name's Fiend. She's a pre-existing character.
Oh, is she? Yeah, does she have a name?
She got a that picture could, and everything. Yeah,
that
it's
could
Fiends.
Be her nickname, no though. Way. Dynamite Dylan. Oh, maybe that's what she goes
Dynamite
by.
Dynamite Dylan. Nah. Beans. Beans is going
you chose
to...
her. You collectively chose her.
It's true. We did.
There was a vote.
Was.
Her name is Fiends, but she's trying to get everyone to call her Dynamite Dylan.
That's
and
it.
No one's taking it because it sounds stupid.
Exactly. Yes. My
is it Fiends or Fiends? I don't
Fiends.
Know. Fiends. Fiends. Like Rafe Fiends.
Oh, okay. So Fiends is going to distract the shit out of these guards by sending a few fireworks their way. Oh yeah, I remember her now. Yeah.
She's holding a bomb. Okay. So
oh, yeah, she loves novels.
Yeah.
And destruction.
So is Fiends providing some sort of distraction explosion? Her speciality, I might add.
Yes, she
okay.
is.
Okay. Fiends, you know what? So she's tier one because she's part of your crew. I feel like she's going to push herself because after, you know, she's on rocky ground. Like, she's due to fail her probation if she carries on the same way. So she's going to push herself. I'm wondering whether she would take the devil's bargain of she accidentally, air quotes, uses too much explosive.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, if it ends up with, like, the City Watch being blown to pieces, that's no, you know, great loss.
Cool. She's going to take the devil's bargain, roll three dice, and...
Fuck. Fucking Fiends!
Fiends didn't.
This is the reason why we don't use her.
She didn't get the only sixes memo.
Do you know what?
Can she resist?
We should have employed that Dynamite Dylan. He would have been better.
Wow.
Right. You see this group of guard ahead of you, and like they see you running towards them with a burlap sack that seems to be moving and screaming. There's an Ace of Our man behind you, and you see this like really large kind of like in this moment, like time slows down and you kind of hyper focus on what's happening in front of you, Frieda, as like the adrenaline's kicking in, and like you see a Fiend's special. Like lift up over the edge of the like the barrier that stops you from falling into the river. Like you see it kind of crest over the edge like the morning sun that you obviously haven't seen in years. And like you realize, oh, this is like it's gonna soar over this barrier and like land in amongst them, and it's gonna be glorious to watch the explosion. And you watch as this bomb soars up, begins arcing back down, and boom, hits the barrier and just flips backwards the way it came back into the water. And in the distance, you hear shit! And there's an explosion, there's a plume of water as you hear this massive explosion. And as Fiends has clearly not put enough oomph to get this bomb onto land in the first place. So you know what? I'm not going to penalize anyone for that because... I mean, Fiends is already the penalty, isn't she? So what are you going to do now? But the guard now seem on high alert, if nothing else. You're welcome.
Okay, I'm going to draw... I'm going to just draw my bloodletting blade.
Ooh.
And I'm just going to, like, fucking... Like...
Are you going to shish kebab some
She's
what?
Not to be trifled with.
I am not to be trifled at.
Just take
him
down.
God. Good shout. Yeah,
there's three
you
of
know
them.
What?
So yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I'm gonna do not to be trifled with. I'm gonna push myself to basically engage a small gang on equal footing in close combat with my bloodletting blade. They've time to cut some hamstrings.
They've just had a bomb thrown at them, so I'm gonna start this on a desperate. Are you using, I assume you're using, not to be trifled with?
Yes.
So you, like, the red mist descends. Whilst there are three of them, not to be trifled with, puts you on level pegging with them quite easily. So we will start you on desperate standard.
Okay. And I'm assuming this would be skirmish, right?
Yep, yep. Desperate standard skirmish. Are you pushing yourself?
Well, I was about to ask about the bloodletting blade, which I am going to use. I'm going to try and use it non-lethally.
Okay. Well.
But. Okay.
Will move you down to desperate limited.
Desperate. Will it?
Yes. If you're trying to use it non-lethally.
Oh, okay. How much do we care about the watch, guys?
We get more heat if we kill people.
Yeah.
We are close to war with the guard as well.
Are we?
Oh,
yeah.
Not if they're all dead.
If they're all dead, exactly.
Okay.
Oh, follow your heart, Meg.
You're a reckless lady.
I am a reckless lady.
Regardless of what happens, there are more casualties than you were aiming for. Than you were bargaining for.
Oh, no,
he wants to push us into war. Don't take it. Don't take it.
All right. Okay, I'll calm it a little bit. I'm still going to do... I think, to be honest, running head-on into them is pretty reckless anyway. So I'm going to do that, but instead of the bloodletting blade, I will have my trusty knuckle dusters. I'm going to go in swinging. And actually, I'm going to use Musto as an improvised weapon. I'm going to be like punching with one hand and whamming like guard with this.
And that's how we're going to succeed at the mission.
Yeah. Just an aside. If you do want to use the bloodletting blade, it calls to you in this moment as you feel as you've opened up the wound on your cheek and you feel the blood running down and dripping onto your like collarbone. As you have level 2 harm, I will give you 2 extra dice if you use the bloodletting blade, as it feeds on your own pain. So. To recap, if you do go for the bloodletting blade, you will start on 2 dice skirmish, desperate standard, or desperate limited if you're going like non-lethally. Devils, but you'll get +2 because you have level 2 harm. You will get you've taken the devil. If you take the devil's bargain of there are more casualties than you bargain for, that's another dice, and you've pushed yourself.
How upset are we all going to be if I accidentally, Frieda accidentally, like through no fault of her own, starts
well, bear
a
in
teeny
mind,
tiny little war.
Bear in mind, if you go non-lethal, you'll start on desperate limited. You'll be up to 4 dice because of your injuries. You could push yourself to the standard. You could devil's bargain up to greater, and maybe one of them will die, but you could non-lethally be at 4 dice desperate standard if you push yourself.
Sod it, let's do that. Let us do that. Let's take the 2 stress. Let's do it to desperate standard, and let's get those 4 dice in with skirmish.
Okay, so 2 extra dice.
Okay, 2 extra dice plus 2d, and it's desperate
standard.
Oh boy. Oh. Oh god. I really thought that was going to be like.
Okay, you've rolled a 5.
Genuinely just had a mini heart attack. Oh.
You suffer severe harm. A serious complication occurs. You have reduced effect. Okay. Algernon, you watch as Frieda draws this crude looking like broadsword, and she descends upon these poor watchmen with a fury you've not seen her ever exhibit. And there are like arcing hacks with this blade. It sounds like you are kind of aiming at their like tendons and at their ankles, right? Like their legs. Okay, so as you, Algon, I'm assuming as you're hoping this isn't as bad as you think it's looking, because she looks like a butcher right now, a butcher in an abattoir. But by the time she's finished, whilst there's blood splattered up the walls of this alleyway, the three watch are on the ground, like holding mangled, like one's got a mangled foot, one's holding, it looks like his Achilles tendon's been cut. And like Frida, I'm imagining, let's go for this. Frida's just flat foot kicked the third over the balcony into the river. And
Sparta.
Yes, Sparta. And Frida is caked in blood. We'll say reduced effect, 2 pips instead of 3. Algernon, take us home.
I like to think that Frida's like in a bloodlust about to land a killing blow on one of the ones that's on the floor. And her sword is stopped by the tip of Algernon's cane. Frida, enough.
Is that a command?
Yeah, I'm going to command Frida.
Okay. There's like 4 talking sense into the Hulk. okay, so we will start you on a risky standard. As Frida looks at you, she's not drunk one of her rage essences that you know she has. So she is still agreeable to a certain extent. Regardless of what happens, one of these watch remember your face. This is faces.
Fine.
So you risky standard or desperate greater. Everyone's getting in on the action. If you want to go desperate greater.
This is like, well, I mean, I know I've done like 3 desperates this session. So
7 so far in total.
Is there 7 across us? That wow.
That kind of session.
Yeah, let's go desperate.
Hey!
I haven't done one yet. I've got FOMO.
I'm trying to think if there's any way I could help, like through a flashback or something, because I've got a bit of stress to play with. I don't know.
Just look
at you. Fine.
Would it be fine?
Through my loadout.
So we're on a 2 dice, desperate greater.
Let's do command.
Are you taking the Devil's Bargain?
So it's the Devil's Bargain in addition to going desperate.
Correct, yes. So that you could start with 3 dice. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. It's got to work.
Ooh. It does kind of work, yeah.
It does kind of.
A partial success off the back of a 5, and I will impose a reduced effect to drop 3 segments to 2. Which completes the escape clock.
Right. Yay. Excellent.
So as you stare down Frida and command her to stop, like your cane kind of parrying the tip of her bloodletting blade, and you say to her, well, Frida, like you hear this, and what is it about Algernon that calms you in this moment, that brings you back down to Earth? Back down to elsewhere.
Genuinely, I think it's like looking into the eyes of a friend that Frida trusts basically makes her recognize like the humanity in her friend, and then she's about to essentially do something that she can't return from, you know, to take, because that's something that she's never.
In which case, yeah, as you brought back down, like the world, your field of vision like returns to normal, having just been in that kind of red rage state. You see Algernon like staring up to you with this commanding look, and remembering what it is you're doing. The two of you unceremoniously, Musto goes over the barrier, boom, onto the barge in the river below. You hear Musto swear loudly. The two of you hop in, and Roth looks exasperated at the helm of this barge, and like Fiends is just stood in the corner with the tips of her toes kind of touching because her feet are bent inwards, and she's like looking at the ground, quite bashful. And then as the two of you drop into the barge, she looks up to him.
I helped, she says
very weakly. And as the barge, as Roth kind of kicks a barge off to head for like the hiding spot that you're going to put Musto in, one of the city watch, the one holding his severed Achilles tendon, just rocks backwards and forwards going,
her name was Frida. He called her Frida. Her name was Frida. He called her Frida.
As if that's the only thing getting him through the pain. And elsewhere in Elysia, Cavern, Magpie, and Atta, as you tear your way through the city streets, what is the route that you're taking? I assume not through Spire Park, as you... That's no. The way that the...
I think
the individual went.
As quiet and you know, unobtrusive a route as possible.
Sure. In which case, as you're like making with all speed through Waterside, and you know you're going to loop round through Rookridge and then up into Dusklem to rendezvous with the others, as you are halfway across the bridges that you started on, like haggard and out of breath, you take a moment to gather yourselves. Atta, you feel... Well, the three of you feel the bridge under your feet begin to shake violently. And as you look at each other and sort of like grab onto one another, grab onto the sides to steady yourselves, like Magpie, as you're looking around trying to figure out what on earth is happening, because this feels like an earthquake, you watch as debris and roof tiles and masonry explode into the air, seemingly from just over the river in St. Hollow. And you watch as these impossibly large vines, similar to the ones that are currently wrapped around the keep that you can see to your left as well, emerge from the ground. But these, you notice, are different in that they are embedded, encrusted, infected with these large, jagged red crystals, larger than houses. And as these roots roar up into the night sky, they begin to coalesce towards each other until they form a knot of sorts over Belltower Prison, like a cage made of crystallized, red crystallized vines. And you can see lights from houses flicking on, like being lit, as people kind of peer out their windows wondering what on earth just happened. And as you look at this bizarre sight casting a shadow over some bell tower, we'll call it there.
Is this another one of those clocks, Dan? Another one of those faction action clocks.
Oh, blimey. Congratulations, everyone. For completing episode 13. You did it! You successfully captured Musto.
It doesn't feel like the whole mission's done. Like, we have to decide what we're doing with him. I guess that could be downtime.
Yeah,
but we got him.
With subtlety and finesse.
Yeah, definitely.
Such grace and poise.
Well, let's face it, Frida and Algernon did it. We were over the other side of town saving Cavern.
Again.
Yes, Errol.
Did Spooky Man kill somebody as Cavern like discovered him?
Not in your line of sight, no.
No, not that we know of.
Okay, good. Because I know we get heat if anyone dies in. So it's like, okay,
you'll be fine. So, like everyone knows you'll be fine. So much so that you'll just want to give this video a like and comment down below and tell us just how fine everything is. Everything's fine. Everything is fine. If you want to see more stuff like this, make sure to hit the subscribe button and the bell icon for notifications when we release new videos. Because we're releasing so many, it's making me dizzy. Yeah. Thank you all for playing. Thank you all for watching and or listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Hi.
We're also shell-shocked.
Bye.